Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q3 FY17 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we will be happy to take questions. We would like to mention that similar to Q1 and Q2, the quarter three numbers reported to stock exchanges are based on Ind AS, the new accounting standard. For the purpose of this call, we will discuss numbers based on previous Indian GAAP. The unaudited financial statements file uploaded on our website for Q3 contains a reconciliation between Ind AS versus previous year Indian GAAP for Q3 this year and for Q3 of last year. Moving on to the financial highlights of the quarter. For the standalone company, net sales in Q3 were rupees 196 crores versus rupees 173 crores in the same quarter of last year, an increase of 13%. For Q3, operating EBITDA was at 61 crores versus 38 crores in Q3 of last year, an increase of 58% YOY, mainly on account of reduction in advertising and marketing expenses, and of course, higher revenue growth. Operating EBITDA margin was at 32% versus 22% in Q3 of last year. Other income is at about 23 crores versus 22 crores of last year. This is on account of an increase in corpus, even though interest rates have declined. PAT was at 54 crores versus up 149% year-on-year. Operating PAT was at 39 crores, up 67% year-on-year, and operating PAT margin was at 20% versus 13% in Q3 of last year. Deferred sales revenue was at 200 crores as of 31st of December 2016 versus rupees 173 crores as of December 31st, 2015. Moving on to the numbers of the recruitment business. Please note that all business-wise numbers that are being given out are management estimates and are not audited. In Q3, recruitment top line grew 14% to rupees 147 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were flat at 55%. In Naukri, which includes Naukri Gulf and First Naukri, EBITDA margin year-on-year was at 56% versus 52% in Q3 of last year. In Naukri in Q3, we added an average of 12,900 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to about 49.8 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 211,000 per day in Q3 versus 163,000 per day in Q3 of last year. In Q3, some of these numbers typically decline, as you know, due to the festival season. In Q3, we serviced 38,800 unique customers versus 33,900 unique customers in Q3 of last financial year. In the first nine months of this year, we have serviced 56,900 unique customers versus 52,400 customers in the first nine months of last year. In Q3, our business was impacted to some extent because of demonetization. The small and medium enterprises were hit more than large enterprises. We also witnessed a slight slowdown in IT. It remains to be seen whether this was a one-off because of events in the U.S. or whether this will continue into next quarter as well. However, we service over 10,000 IT services and BPO companies, and that sort of mitigates the impact. Many of these are back offices, captives, and development centers, and they are likely to be less impacted versus companies which depend mainly on outsourcing work. BPO, insurance and banking, along with a few other services sectors, did better in Q3 and compensated for some of the slowdown in IT. The transition to the new, like we sort of discussed in the last call, the transition to the new sales and incentive policies in Naukri announced in the middle of Q1, mainly to help us reduce discounting and bill more from some of our larger customers who tend to renew at quarter end, continues and is getting absorbed satisfactorily. That this deferment of sales is going to impact our revenue for one more quarter, which is Q4, and we should see a revival in our growth rates in Naukri starting with Q1 of next year. We continue to focus and work aggressively on improving our platform and our product capabilities. The CSM Pro version, which was launched a few months ago, continues to do well in the marketplace, and we are planning to launch the CSM Enterprise version next month as well. Moving to the 99acres business, top line in 99acres grew 9% year-on-year to 28 crores in Q3. In 99acres in Q3, we made an EBITDA loss of about 12 crores versus rupees 20 crores in Q3 of last year. In the 9 months of this financial year, the EBITDA level loss in 99acres has declined to rupees 39 crores from rupees 80 crores in the first 9 months of last year, mainly due to a decrease in advertising, decrease in ad spend and increase in revenues. This business, as we know, as you know, we've been saying in media, was impacted significantly by demonetization this quarter. We saw an overnight drop of about 40-45% in our traffic in Q3 post demonetization. We have seen a handsome recovery in terms of inquiries and traffic on our website in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we are hoping that sales will also follow with a lag. But overall, the real estate market continues to be sluggish, having been impacted by multiple things, with demand for new homes generally weak and unfinished projects and inventory. Overhang continuing in most markets, the sector will take some time to rebound. Further, as provisions of the Real Estate Regulation and Development Act, RERA, come into effect and various states start to notify rules under the Act, we believe a cleanup in the real estate industry will occur over the next few years, which in the short term may hurt us, but in the long term will benefit 99acres as it makes the market a safer place for all buyers. With PropTiger, which had bought Makan about 2 years ago, announcing to acquire housing, there is a consolidation taking place in the space, and we are sort of continue to keep an eye on competition. In Jeevan Sathi, net sales grew 19% year-on-year in Q3 and reached 14 crores versus 11 crores in Q3 of last year. At the EBITDA level, we made an EBITDA loss of about 2 crores in Jeevan Sathi. In Jeevan Sathi also, our sales were impacted for about a month due to demonetization, though not to the extent they were impacted in some of the other businesses. And even in Jeevan Sathi, we have recovered in terms of traffic and in terms of sales growth since then. In Q3, moving to the Shiksha business, in Q3, sales in Shiksha grew 6% to 7 crores, and we lost rupees 3 crores at the EBITDA level versus rupees 2 crores in Q3 of last year. Moving on to the strategic investments, in Q3, we invested an additional amount of rupees 1 crore in Dairo. Over the last 11 months, we have advanced a total of rupees 23 crores to Aplec by way of a loan, and the total gross amount now invested in external ventures, including the loan to Aplec, is 845 crores. Some of the companies we have invested in will require more funding, and we will evaluate this on a case-to-case basis going forward. That's all from us. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Arya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, if you could elaborate a little more on the impact of demonetization, and I mean, I noticed that your collection growth has slowed quite a bit. So will that continue to have an impact on the reported revenues for the next one or two quarters?
Yeah, see, on the whole, you know, our estimates are that demonetization impacted our top line by about 20-25 crores in Q3. Compared to the target we had set for ourselves internally, we came in terms of collection growth. We came in about 10 or 11 crores short in 99acres. We think we lost about 8 to 10 crores of business in Naukri, and maybe we lost about a crore and a half in Jeevansathi and Shiksha. So on the whole, our sense is, of course, these are our internal estimates, that compared to, you know, and for example, in 99acres, we were growing at 23% till Q2. And suddenly, sort of, our collections growth was actually negative in Q3. So these are based on sort of some of the targets that we set for ourselves. But whether this will impact us in Q3, whether demonetization will continue to impact us in Q4, it's hard to say. Well, certainly what I can tell you is that in terms of traffic, almost all our sites have recovered. So we are back to pre-demonetization levels in terms of traffic. Therefore, you know, I expect that revenue growth will follow. Now, there could be a lag of a couple of months between traffic recovery and revenue growth recovery, but ultimately that should happen as well.
Right. And specifically on Naukri, you talked about the new incentive structure and how that has had an impact on revenue growth. You know, and you're saying that after fourth quarter it should normalize and you should sort of reap the benefits of it. So what sort of delta are we talking about here? Is it like, you know, growth going up from 14-15% to 20%, 17-18%? What sort of delta are we talking about?
Actually, you see, the quarter which is going to be the most impacted by this change in policy is going to be Q4. So we expect growth to slow down in Q4, actually, in Naukri collection growth because of this change in incentive policy. And hopefully, you know, if we've got it right and if we've done our math right, we are likely to see growth picking up substantially over what it would have been otherwise in Q1 and Q2 of next year. That's our estimate right now. Now, it is possible, very possible that, you know, in Q4, this change in policy could impact our collection growth by maybe 15-20 crores in Naukri. But we could get that revenue back in terms of additional growth in Q1 and Q2 of next year.
Understood. And lastly, you mentioned the numbers for Shiksha. If you could repeat those sales growth, absolute sales.
Sales growth in Shiksha was 6%. You said it's 7 crores in, around 7 crores in Q3.
And you talked about a loss number also, I think?
Yeah, about 3 crores at the EBITDA level.
These are all IGAAP numbers.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepa Kashyap from Nirnolia Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, my question is related to recruitment business. Recruitment business is at 9%, is on the lower side as compared to last few quarters. So just wanted to understand why the slowdown for this quarter and will it be continued?
Yeah, so, you know, as per IGAAP, recruitment sort of business grew by about 13% this quarter. We saw a slight slowdown, one, because of demonetization. This impacted mostly the small and medium enterprises we do business with, and two, on account of a slowdown in IT hiring, where even our larger customers were impacted to some extent. We are not sure, I mean, whether this will continue. It's just been one quarter. So we'll have to wait and watch and see what happens in Q4.
Okay. And sir, another question is, we can see in the balance sheet there is huge amount of cash balance. So is there any extension plan?
So on the cash balance, you know, we have been kind of continuously monitoring and tracking what the amounts are. So far as the amount that we thought we would require as a war chest for 99 acres real estate business, we are still in wait and watch mode, and we would want to see that how this the entire competitive landscape is emerging. You know, we know that this quarter there was some merger announcement. We saw some news report on housing and Prop Tiger and some more investment, about 50 million kind of got invested in that company. So we still would want to continue with our war chest for at least next few more months, and then we would want to kind of review what the cash positions are. You know, if you take other than the money that is there, other than for 99 acres, if you look at what the our overall advance, because it's a subscription revenue, it's a negative working capital, so it's a kind of an advance that we receive, and that's the kind of safety level that we would want to maintain going forward as well.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Alek Dalal from 130 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just again on this cash balance. Basically, it looks like this real estate trough is there to stay for another couple of quarters. So, you know, while having a war chest, I mean, the question is, you know, what are we defending, at least for the next couple of quarters? And isn't the cash flow more than sufficient to defend whatever market share you need to in the business? You know, given this war chest has been around a couple of years now, what are you thinking on it?
So, look, we are being a little cautious. This is Sanjeev here. Simply because the external environment is a little volatile. You've got a situation where you're still recovering from demonetization. You know, so the last quarter, the first 40 days were pre-demonetization. This is the first full quarter with demonetization. We'd like to wait to see what actually is happening with our client companies and with the economy in general. Second, you've got a situation where, you know, IT has been facing headwind and pushback in the recruitment business. And now with, potentially H-1B environment getting tougher in the U.S. under the new administration, we'd like to wait and watch and see what happens there as well. Okay, on 99 acres, you've got a situation where competitive activity has declined. However, some consolidation has taken place, and we do not know the intention of those who consolidated. We do know they have deep pockets, right? With demonetization, the real estate environment has suffered serious setback in terms of demand. We are hoping it comes back, but we don't know by when. And in this environment, we'd rather conserve cash and be cautious. Some of our strategic investing companies have also faced some pushback on demonetization, and they may need some further support for the next three, 4 months or so to come out of it. So in such a situation, we'd rather conserve cash and see what happens.
Okay, and in terms of the acquisitions and new investment pipeline, how are you seeing that in terms of the startup landscape? And are there interesting assets you can pick up that can really push the business forward?
So you see, unfortunately, there aren't so many great assets out there which are mature, right? Which you can buy and they'll immediately add value to your business. Because if somebody raised a lot of money from venture capitalists and is now facing headwinds because the funding environment has changed, chances are that he has, they have built a high cost structure. They were planning for 3-4 years out for break even, and now they don't have the funding available the next 3-4 years, and therefore there'll be some chopping and changing and some sort of pivoting required there. So it's not as if there are a whole lot of great assets available cheap. Second, with investors already inside there, their valuation expectations are not necessarily, where you would like to buy them at today. Once again, we would sort of be a little careful there. We, of course, are seeing all opportunities and we are waiting for things to settle down, but things are currently in a flux. So waiting and watching. But we keep doing small early stage investments, small ticket. We keep also supporting our existing portfolio wherever they deserve it and they need it. And that's where we are right now. So it's more of managing the ship and navigating around some icebergs and then seeing what happens.
There's a great company called InfoEdge you can buy.
We are holding.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
if you're referring to a buyback.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. So you know, our understanding, I missed that. So no, our understanding of the law, and correct us if we are wrong, is that if you do a buyback, you cannot then raise further capital for a certain period of time, right? And that will limit our strategic options. Should an option to acquire something come around, or should there be some sort of cataclysmic event which requires us to deploy our funding, for a rainy day, and therefore we would hesitate to do a buyback at this stage until we are clear that look, there are no opportunities out there for which we lose the money and the environment is stable.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, obviously to a limited extent, buyback would make sense. But of course, I hear your points.
So basically, for the next 6 months or 12 months, you can't then raise money because you can't do a two-way transaction for the next 6 months or 12 months. I forget what the law is. Then our strategic options of raising for the money get close to that time period. And that is what, so we've got to be clear that we won't raise money for that time period before we sort of do a buyback.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Can you give me an update on your market shares across Naukri and 99acres?
See, this is now as per SimilarWeb, because we switched to SimilarWeb some time back, because we believe that sort of tracks market shares closer to sort of our estimates, and you know, their data is closer to our data, our numbers. So in Naukri, I think our shares have been in the same ballpark. I think in December we were sort of close to 80%, but basically we've been hovering in the 75 to 80% ballpark for as far as Naukri is concerned. And in 99acres, we are at around 40. On desktop, we are about 45, 46%. That's what we average for the quarter. And these shares that which I'm giving you are on time spent. On page view, the shares are higher.
Okay. And could you also share the mobile shares, traffic shares, either in terms of VAP or the app itself, both for Naukri and 99acres?
Yes. No, app shares we don't have because there is no sort of service that gives us the app market shares. But mobile traffic share for 99acres has been, again, 46-47% as per SimilarWeb. And for Naukri, a little, I'll just tell you. About 72%.
Okay, that's helpful. And have you seen any impact of, Common Floor not really being a competitor anymore as part of Quikr? Their focus appears to be a bit lesser there in terms of your business, or no impact at all?
No, hard to say, because see, Common Floor was a strong player only in Bangalore. Okay, they did not really have a large presence all over the country. And, Q3 was hit by demonetization, so it's, very hard to sort of figure out what really happened. But we haven't seen Common Floor expanding their operation to outside. I mean, we haven't seen any significant expansion in their operation outside Bangalore.
Okay. And any updates on the current business trend and burn rates at Zomato? A and B, part of the same question. Do you expect burn rates to maybe rebound when Uber Eats enters the market?
So Uber Eats, it's too early to say yet what the impact will be. Having said that, Zomato has built a great brand franchise. It's got great traffic. It gets a huge, unique value, which drives the traffic without too much advertising. So the burn rates have come down to maybe a million or a month or thereabouts. And, the company seems to have decided that, look, we can get to break even whenever we want, but we should instead now focus on growing the business because we've got the building blocks in place. And therefore, which is why they've stabilized the burn here. And they've got enough money in the bank to last for 2.5 years at this burn rate, so therefore maybe a little less than that. The company seems to be in a comfortable position. Now, what Uber Eats will do, we'll have to see when Uber Eats comes.
And in terms of the business momentum, do you think, the expectation that was there at the beginning of the year will be met in terms of growth rates?
More or less. More or less, and that's what the target is. But still 3 months to go, and while their business has not been impacted by demonetization yet, we'll have to see what happens this quarter because their clients are small businesses. Let's see what happens this quarter to the advertising revenue.
Sure. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Can you give me the collection growth in Naukri and 99 acres for 9 months?
For 9 months?
Yeah.
I think collection... We don't give out collection growth separately for our various businesses.
Cumulatively for the company, it is, you give out that number, right?
So our deferred sales revenue is up from is up to 200 crores as on 31st of December.
Right. So
you should be able to sort of
figure it out.
Derive
200 from 173, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The difference between the IGAAP numbers and the Ind AS numbers for Naukri is, in this quarter, is coming out much more in contrast. For example, up till the first half, the difference was not that much. But this quarter, we are seeing on Ind AS, the growth is 7% on Ind AS, and on IGAAP, it is double of that. Why is it happening in this quarter that the contrast is much more severe between the two accounting standards?
I think there could be a variety of reasons, and it's very hard to pinpoint one particular reason. But this whole transition from the earlier accounting standard to new accounting standard has been a little bit distorting the numbers, particularly because we have subscription revenue. If it was more like a purchase and sales transaction only, maybe it would not have been so severe. But because it's over a period of time and there are number of products which, as per the earlier accounting method, there were some part of that was upfront recognition and some part was over a period of time. Again, depending upon which date you book the sales, so let's say if you have done a sale in October versus what you have done in December, the impact could be very different in both this method of accounting. Right? I think if the fair way of resolving your query would be that if you look at deferred sales and if you look at segment accounts and if you look at other liabilities, which kind of by and large represents deferred sales, you will see that that difference would kind of offset each other. So if you see it in earlier quarters versus this quarter, probably you will see that difference, and which will kind of will explain that why these numbers are in a particular way.
The same thing would have applied in the first two quarters as well. So is there anything specific that happened this quarter in the way either the incentive structure was changed or accounting or anything in collections that we are seeing this contrast?
No, it could be very different in earlier quarters. As I said, that look, if it was the sales was done in a first month or a third month, would make a difference. In the earlier accounting method, it may not make a difference. Now, so what the facts were for the last year versus what the facts are in this year would be very different, and it can have an impact on what the revenue recognition would be. But if you look at revenue plus, if you add deferred revenue to it, you will see what the real growth rates are, and that probably would match whether you take it in IGAAP or if you take it as Ind AS.
Mm-hmm. And in your earlier comment, you were saying that the impact of the incentive structure is going to be more pronounced than what you've seen in the 9 months.
Yes, in Q4.
Coming in the Q4. Why is that?
Because Q4 has traditionally been our largest quarter, right? So therefore there is a lot of renewals coming up in Q4, which sort of, like I said earlier, the objective of this change is to give the sales team more time to work on these accounts so that we can upgrade them to higher end products. So Q4 will be impacted the most, but we should see the benefit in Q1 and Q2 if all goes well.
Yeah, but in revenues, it is Q4 on an average is only 15% higher than first three quarters. So to that extent, you're saying, or you're saying on deferred revenues, Q3 is much higher than the other quarter? Q4 is much higher than the other quarters?
Well, on the overall collection, the impact could be much bigger. In terms of revenue, the impact could be in a little less than that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Sanjeev here. I'd like to add to an answer to an earlier question regarding a buyback of shares. You see, one of the factors we want to look at, and we must look at, is we get feedback from investors that our stock is not liquid enough, right? And we have to see what a buyback will do further to that liquidity if there are fewer shares out there in the market. That's another factor that we look at while evaluating a buyback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Lodhia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. You know, competitor has sort of given out a release on their growth in Q3 on the real estate side. And
excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, but requesting you to please speak a bit louder.
Yeah, is this audible now?
Yes. You may please proceed.
So Magic Bricks claims to have clocked 37 crores of revenue, which is a 43% YOY increase for them. And this sort of completely beats the whole demonetization argument on a slowdown. I was wondering if you had anything to add to that.
Yeah, so, you know, two, three points. One, if you sort of go by their release in their newspaper, what they've said is that they've collected about 97 crores in the first 9 months of this year. And so you know, if you look at our numbers and our collections, we were sort of almost equal to them or maybe slightly higher till the first 6 months of the year. It's only in Q3 that they're claiming that they're growing at 43%. And there are maybe two or three reasons for it in our view. One, of course, we could have grown a little faster or a little higher than what we've grown at if we had agreed to collect payments in old currency, which we refused. Secondly, you know, a part of the growth for Magic Bricks, they have ascribed to sort of to the shopping festival or the Google shopping festival they ran. So far, we have stayed away from running such events on our site because, you know, when you run such events and when you run such festivals, you often end up committing to your customers on what you can deliver. And we have tried to stay away. We don't think this such revenue is very high quality revenue. And thirdly, you know, we'll have to see whether the revenue of Magic Bricks includes revenues from you know, you know, combo deals which they do with the newspaper, revenue from treaties which they do sort of where they sort of pick up you know, flats or equity in return for you know, advertising on their platform. So I don't know. So I don't have the breakup for them. But yes, we can increase our revenue growth in 99 acres if we, for example, agree to do barter deals where we sort of take property in lieu of advertising the platform. And we could have increased our revenue growth if we had agreed to take old currency notes, which we sort of said no to in Q3.
Sure. And one more on Naukri. So this new sales incentive policy that we've put in place, the argument is that it reduces the sort of incentive for our sales team to, you know, make sales aggressively by discounting and hold on to a price point, and hence we are taking a upfront hit on our revenues in fiscal 17, which should be good for our revenues in fiscal 18. Is there a way we can track it in the sense that how well it is, you know, progressing? I mean, is it delivering as one would have thought it is promised to deliver?
You know, if this was the only factor at work, one could have done so. But unfortunately or fortunately, there are many other factors at work as well, like, of course, like the IT slowdown, like demonetization. So it's very hard to pinpoint. For example, when there is a downgrade, whether it happened because of our policy or whether it happened because, or an upgrade, for example, whether it happened because of our policy or whether the customer was hiring more, whether there was a slowdown in IT which impacted the revenue from the customer or whether it was because of demonetization. But on the whole, you know, what we are sure of is that it is likely to impact collection growth and therefore revenue growth for the first three quarters already over, and therefore and the Q4 is the last quarter which will be impacted negatively because of this policy decision. And Q1 and Q2 should benefit handsomely. Now, even in Q1 and Q2 may benefit because of this policy, you know, there could be other factors at work which sort of derail growth in Q2 and Q1 and Q2. We'll know only in Q1 and Q2. Right? But it's very hard to sort of say on a customer level whether the impact we saw in our billing was because of reason A or reason B or reason C.
Understood. Thanks for those answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. You have thought that there was a good increase in customers in Naukri. It was up 14.5% year-on-year. but there's a slight decline in the revenue per customer. You know, it's the first time since FY14, if I recall correctly. You know, is this because of a mathematical way that we calculate it? Because you know, was the customer addition back-ended for the quarter?
No, this could also be because of, you know, like I said, because we are, so you see the accounts that are impacted by our change in policy are mostly the large customers. And these are the guys who pay us a lot of money. Or where the average billing ARPUs are much higher than the average for the business as a whole. So if we are able to upgrade these customers substantially in Q1 and Q2, then hopefully ARPUs in Q1 and Q2 for Naukri as a whole will be a lot better. Having said so, you know, it is also true that when we add a lot of customers, the newer customers tend to sort of, you know, come in at lower price points. They tend to sort of buy products for a shorter duration. They don't buy the full bouquet to start with. So they drag down overall sort of ARPUs for a while. But over time, it's great for us because if we add more customers, because we have more opportunities to upgrade, we get more jobs on our platform, we have more hiring happening through us. So that sort of helps the ecosystem.
Right. And advertising and promotional costs, you know, that's, I think, now at an all-time low, or multi-quarter low at least, you know, just 9.9% of sales. So even in 3Q FY14, we were at like 12% plus. So can we say that there is very little room for any further margin improvement from curtailing these expenses?
Yeah, so we don't expect advertising and marketing costs to go down. I mean, this quarter was very low because when we saw 99acres business getting impacted by demonetization, and we saw that people were in no mood to buy property, we sort of cut advertising. But but our traffic has recovered since then, and as our traffic gets back to normal and as sales get back to normal, we will, you know, also sort of increase advertising spend in 99acres over time. And even in Jeevansathi, which is, you know, where we are seeing reasonably good growth, we could get aggressive on advertising going forward to gain market share.
Great. And would it be possible to share any, you know, uptake in Jeevansathi app downloads or something post, you know, now 4G is adoption is starting to pick up in India. So have you seen any improvement in app downloads?
Well, you know, our app sort of usage grows every month, but we haven't done this analysis.
Sure.
It would be hard for me to sort of comment on whether Jio has made a difference.
And Ravi, sure. Sudhir, I think ARPU is best reckoned at the end of the year versus every quarter.
Sure. Thank you.
For Naukri at least. Yeah.
Oh. Thank you. Best luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the couple of investee companies apart from the major one, Zomato, which are Merit Nation and Canvera. So just wanted to, get a sense on the health of the businesses over there, with Merit Nation having slowed down in growth in FY15, then picked up in FY16, but with much bigger investments. Just how would be tracking over there, and also any similar update on Canvera? Thanks.
Yeah, so in both these companies, you know, we are still sort of figuring it out. Now, in Merit Nation, I think the company did invest substantially in sales and marketing, and therefore that meant headcount and ad expense, and that drove burn up while it drove growth up. We are now asked them to pivot to a less kind of profitable growth kind of model, so the company is doing that. The good news about Merit Nation is that it continues to get 6,000 to 8,000 free registrations a day. It has tremendous engagement. So obviously, the asset is valued. The issue is how do we monetize it and how best to monetize it, and that is what is being figured out. Demonetization has not helped because, you know, at least for the home sales team, you know, which is the field sales team, you know, some of that collection used to be in cash and that has been impacted, but hopefully it should recover next month or two. As far as Canvera is concerned, I think the company has curtailed expenses very well in the last few months, and therefore burn has moved down a bit. A lot of sales process improvements have taken place. A lot of automation has been put into the sales effort. Demonetization did have impact here also because, a lot of wedding expenses would be impacted in demonetization. And it has not fully recovered yet. And we are hoping that by next month or the month after that, it should recover. And then it will be back on track to pursue a break-even. But both these, we are still figuring it out.
That's helpful. And lastly, just a clarification from Chintan. So just on the difference in the standalone revenues between IGAAP and Ind AS, would it be fair to, so or is the understanding right that the difference is magnified in this quarter because of the fact that the collections revenue were lesser? Would that be a fair understanding?
I think that would get compensated by if you by the same amount if you look at deferral revenue. So if you add deferral plus this, probably you know it should come out to be a similar growth rate.
Okay, okay. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. The new incentive structure, this was put in place in Q1 of this year or it was put in place in Q2?
Middle of Q1.
Middle of Q1. So then if I understand the structure correctly, you were saying, you know, that instead of closing deals towards the end of the quarter and discounting, you are asking them to roll it over. So for the full year, then the collection growth should not get impacted, right? Because the client would have to renew at least towards the end of the year if he is not renewing through the quarters, any of the quarter.
What we are really asking him is that, you know, it's okay if they hold on the negotiation piece, right, and continue in the, with the negotiation. But we are not really doing that at the cost of the existing relationship that we have. As it is just mentioned that mostly it's happening in key accounts and large accounts that we have. So it depends, you know, how the negotiation, you know, will end at the end of the quarter. You know. Why, you know, we are saying that Q4 will have a bigger impact is that there are maximum number of customers, large customers who come for renewal in Q4. So what the total impact would be, it's hard to really kind of forecast. But it is quite likely that it could be much larger than what we would have seen in Q1, Q2, and Q3.
Well, my submission, Sanjeev, here, I think it will take 5 quarters for the whole cycle to play out and not 4. Maybe even 6. You see, because if there's stuff that you would have collected end of Q1, which you will now collect in Q2, there's stuff that you would have collected in end of Q2, which you will now collect in Q3, and so on. So therefore, it will take more than one full year to play out.
And, you know, sometimes these things take time and, you know, we are happy to give the sales team a little more time to negotiate. Sometimes, you know, negotiations go on for a month or two as well. There are cases where sometimes negotiations go on for 3 months and with many of these customers, we have very old relationships. So we don't, we let them use the site, but we keep negotiating.
These are one-year deals mainly, right?
Mostly one-year deals.
Okay. And earlier you used to give out paid transactions for 99 acres. Now you stopped giving that. Can you give a sense for 9 months if that metric, you know, how did that trend?
We are, Abhi, just 1 second. Let me see if we have it on that. Yeah, see, we in 99 acres, we've been focusing more on the larger sort of customers. You know, and the smaller customers actually are the ones who have been impacted a lot more by the changes we are seeing in the real estate market. So as a strategy, you know, it's, we are not focusing on adding too many new customers in 99 acres, but trying to figure out how to upgrade the customers, especially the large ones.
So for 9 months, it's around 42,000. But if you recollect, these are invoices issued. These are not anything to do with actual transaction on the site. Does that help?
That is up or down versus last year. The growth number is more important to us versus the absolute number.
So Q3 is down versus last year at almost half.
Down 50%, is it?
Yeah.
In Q3, not YTD. But, you know, like I said, our focus as a business is also to sort of focus more on the larger sort of accounts going forward. There is always a lot of churn at the bottom. And in our sort of view, some of the guys at the bottom are not very profitable customers for us to have. So increasing the focus of our sales system is more on working with the top 10,000-15,000 customers and sort of figuring out how we can upgrade them, how we can help them use the platform better, how we can generate more response for them. Because these are the guys who have the big budgets. These are the guys who can pay us much more in the long run.
For 9 months, what is the growth or degrowth?
don't have these
numbers. Yeah, we don't have the numbers right now, but we can get back to you.
All right. Thank you for answering the question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Well, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his closing comments.
Well, you know, thank you everyone for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of InfoEdge India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.